Thanks for tuning in to Public Radio KDNK. This is the Living Permaculture Show. I'm Stephanie Sison. Happy November. We hope you are all enjoying the holiday season and the winter weather. I'd like to welcome back to the show my good friend, the beautiful and sweet Kate Miller, owner-operator of Alpine Botanicals in Nederland, Colorado. Thanks for joining us, Kate.
Thanks, Steph. It's great to talk again.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back. You've been on the show quite a few times recently when you were out here at the biodynamic workshop over at Sustainable Settings. You chimed in a bit on how that was going for you, so we're glad to get you back on and hear a little bit about what you've been up to in the last year or more. And then also the main topic of today's show is winter health and wellness. But before we get into all that, can you give our listeners a little bit of an update as to what's going on with Alpine Botanicals? It's so exciting what you're doing up there, and I'm not even sure you've been on the air since you've opened it. But can you give us a little bit of an update about what Alpine Botanicals is?
Totally, yeah. I don't think I've been on the air for a full episode since probably about a year and a half before we opened. So quite a bit has happened. And like you, I'm a plate filler when it comes to projects. So yeah, so much has happened. We just celebrated about 8 months of being open, which is really exciting.
Yay.
And as you and some of our listeners might know, it was a long journey. It took us about almost 3 years to even get the whole thing up and running. So we are super grateful to our local community and our whole bioregional Colorado community for showing up and supporting us through all of that crazy journey. And one of the most profound things probably that we're about that kind of also sets us apart from other herbal apothecaries is just our commitment and support of other small batch organic brands. And in most cases, many of those brands are women owned. So we feel really, really good about what we're doing. And it's kind of become a family in a way. And we're just truly collaborative. And although we have our own house made products, we also want to stick to that mission as much as possible just because of what it fuels in our local economy. And up in Nederland, we're kind of in the periphery of the Boulder, Denver metro area. So there's a lot of makers who are really committed to sustainability and regenerative agriculture and sourcing ingredients as locally as possible. So we're trying to provide a venue for them as much as we can, really. And I think we're up to almost 25 local makers that we represent within about 250 miles of Nederland. So really trying to tap into this bioregional magic and all of the incredible resources that we have around us here in Colorado.
When to walk through your space, you can see that there's just so many different companies represented and every kind of herbal goodie you could imagine having. Even for me, as someone who makes most of my own things, I still have to buy things every time I go there because I'm like, oh, look at this herbal salt. I never thought of making it that way. So just some really fun, healthful, beautifully crafted things that are good for us that we can consume, but then also you have beautiful handmade jewelry and all kinds of fun stuff. So I definitely recommend if anyone's in the Nederland area to stop by Alpine Botanicals. I also love that you included a greenhouse into that space. What a beautiful addition to a healing market space.
Oh, yeah, and you were a huge inspiration for me on that. You know that I reached out to you for consulting a couple times. And the greenhouse was really, like, such an integral part of the way that we designed our building and our business. Even just the physical attributes that having a south-facing greenhouse adds to the energy efficiency of the whole building as a whole. It lends an incredible ambiance. I mean, for people that have been up to Nederland, it's kind of a world of its own. I mean, it'll be 70 and sunny down in Boulder, and then you get up to Nederland, and it's cold, and it could be snowing. So it's really important to have that kind of vital, vibrant green space where we will be producing some of our more tropical and tender plants and medicines. And it also provides just a wonderful space to kind of demonstrate what can be done, even at high altitudes, which is something that there's a you know, incredible growing network of different high altitude greenhouse growers in Colorado that are demonstrating just a vast assortment of different growing techniques. We ourselves are growing in soil, and we don't have any heating except for one small gas heater, and then the rest of the building is entirely powered by solar PV panels on the roof. So we're trying to kind of demonstrate what we consider to be the highest example of sort of our transition into kind of the, you know, relying on renewables as much as possible. But since we do live in a state that gets an incredible amount of sunlight, there's just so much that we can do. And so far, we've barely run the heater, even when it was really, really cold outside. And we've got passion flower that's growing almost up to the ceiling of a two-story greenhouse with a balcony inside of it. So it's a sight to behold.
Well, and for folks who might be taking passion flower, to be able to walk out into that greenhouse and see a plant that doesn't grow in this region and see what it looks like and get to meet it in person, I think it's a great opportunity.
And of course, it's my favorite space to hang out in.
Right. So also just really nice for you and your employees, too.
Yes, exactly. It's we definitely frequent the greenhouse for little breaks and meetings and tea dates with our friends and colleagues.
Awesome. And so on that line of your building being so energy efficient, you've also in this time built a home up there in Nederland and gotten some PR around it. So I'd love for you to talk about the home that you built and the show that folks that are listening can see the home that you've built on.
Yeah, totally. So we were, my husband and I were totally crazy in pursuing essentially two building projects at the same time, one of which is our home, as well as the apothecary and whole business that we just built that's in downtown Nederland. So just a few minutes away from that, just a few minutes down the road off of Peak to Peak Highway in Nederland, we built an off-grid home. And just as we were beginning to kind of pursue that project and had essentially just broken ground, we were pursued by the DIY Network to be on an episode of one of their shows called Building Off-Grid. So that certainly wasn't something that we'd set out to do or sought out, because being on a TV show kind of seemed crazy on top of everything else that we were doing. But at the same time, I think it's really important that we were able to kind of see the bigger picture and how much inspiration it can lend to for viewers and for people all over the nation to be witness to the process of building an off-grid home. So we were really excited to be part of that show, and it was a grueling process, the build part, the being filmed and followed around and kind of having our personal lives sort of dissected at times. But all in all, we're really glad that we did it, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback from the community, and I've gotten a lot of questions, so I'm definitely going to be doing a blog follow-up to help people who, like us, weren't really sure where to start with building a home, much less an off-grid home. So if listeners would like to see the show, it is available on Amazon, I believe, for just a couple dollars. And it's season 5 of the Building Off-Grid series, and we're episode 7. And yeah, my husband Greg and I were totally cringing when we watched the episode. But again, it's just, it's an incredibly inspiring series, and they really do focus on people who, like us, want to kind of, you know, get off grid, but also encourage just sort of the lifestyle that revolves really around the permaculture principles and being self-sufficient as much as possible. And it's really a dream come true that, you know, we worked really hard for it, but we're so grateful every day that we get to live in this beautiful home. And then I get to go to work right down the road to my beautiful store. So it was worth all of the nightmares of the last 3 years, for sure.
Goodness. Well, they're both beautiful spaces. I've been to your home and stayed there, and it's so warm and cozy and gorgeous and just looks like it's right in the middle of the woods. It's a really great space to be in. So thanks for sharing all your trials and tribulations with that, with the public. I can't wait to see the show. I'm excited to be in a place with some reception so I can check it out.
Nice.
Well, after that great wrap up and update on where you're at, I would love to spend the rest of our time together today talking about winter wellness. I think we can probably kick it off by just asking you from your experience. I'm sure you run into a lot of people operating a retail establishment. What are the most common issues that people are dealing with at this time of the year?
Totally. Well, I think I'd like to start off just by saying this can be such an incredibly triggering time of year for so many people. I mean, some people just don't like winter. And if you're living in Colorado, I know that our weather can oscillate a lot. But in general, you know, we're living in a climate that does experience like this gray, kind of darker, colder time of year. And it's easy to get into a funk emotionally and physically, both of which can lend to kind of further challenges down the road if you're not sort of equipped to handle sort of like the dark season, which I personally feel like is something that we all should embrace more. And kind of embracing that, you know, if you're already prone to kind of getting the funk, and I mean emotional, physical funk, whether it's a cold or a flu or you deal with seasonal affective depression, if you're like myself, you have to work really even harder this time of year to stay healthy. And by working harder, I actually mean slowing down.
Embracing the slowdown, the lack of light.
Exactly. So taking the time to rest, saying no, even if it means saying no to, you know, supposedly kind of obligate family or social affairs. And really just taking the time to prioritize your self-care so that you can feel your best and so that when you do go out and participate in the world, you won't feel so overtaxed. Because I know, like me, I can feel things coming on so quickly, you know, between the people who are coming into the store and having back-to-back meetings or not sleeping well or whatever it is. So I know that there's a lot of information that's being thrown out at people, but at the end of the day, I think just not beating yourself up to take the time to rest is one of the most important kind of messages that we can, you know, sort of incorporate into our lives, because you can take all of the supplements and all of the herbs, but if you're not sleeping and you're beating yourself up and you're stressed out all day, it's going to be hard to kind of like fight off whatever comes at you. Which is inevitable because we all go into, you know, public situations where there's germs everywhere and whatnot. And if our systems aren't resilient against that, then we can't really do anything or as much as we could do. So I guess with that, I could say on immunity, I know everyone, Steph and I, we've talked about this so much. Everyone is obsessed with elderberries.
For sure.
And that has actually made it quite hard to find them, which as a side note, and we should do a later episode on this, it's all the more reason we should all be growing elderberries next season if you're not growing them already.
We planted about 30 of them out at Sustainable Settings at the ranch, and every year we hope to plant at least that many more. They're a beautiful, beautiful landscape plant. They grow in this environment, and they're just really valuable medicine that we could have all over here if we wanted.
Oh, for sure. And they're so amazing in the garden. So we should do a whole episode on all of the roles that they kind of fill in the garden. But I mention elderberries, too, because I think that some of the other really awesome, even more commonly known herbs get overlooked, even though their antiviral activity is probably equal to, maybe different than in the mechanism in the body, but certainly equal to elderberry, and are quite frequently underused. One of my favorites being just ginger root. And ginger is a really, really potent antiviral. It's one of the favorites of herbalist Stephen Buhner, who also talks about some of the more common herbs that are overlooked. And another thing that is so important this time of year is healthy digestion. And it's absolutely imperative for healthy immunity that we have healthy digestion. So ginger can be such an ally for both immunity, as an antiviral, as a wonderful respiratory herb if you're dealing with respiratory infection, and it's obviously fantastic for digestion. And the other big advantage being that it warms up the body and it sends blood to all of our peripheral extremities, like our hands and feet, so people who are dealing with, you know, circulation issues you know, that itself will make you less resilient to infection. So keeping your body warm and integrating ginger and other kind of warming spices can be great for just kind of combating the common flu, the common cold. And it's obviously something that can be prepared in food.
Right. Ginger is a great one because it doesn't have to be taken as medicine. It can be tucked into all kinds of things and make them even more delicious. Our pumpkin pies, our chai tea, all kinds of places.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's one of my favorites. I don't know what some of your other favorites are. I have lists of favorite herbs.
Well, what would be another, like, I would love to hear, actually, we were talking just a day or two ago about a tea that you're blending up there for colds and flus, because there's a lot of folks here right now who are suffering from a lot of nasal congestion and throat issues, and just this, like, preliminary cold and flu thing. It seems like it might be a rough year. So can you talk a little bit about that tea or just some of the herbs that are in there that are really helpful?
Totally. So another one of my favorites that, or a couple of my favorites that are also a part of one of our best-selling teas that we have at the apothecary called the Cold and Flu Brew. So ginger is part of that formula because obviously that's just such an incredible herb. And then another one being licorice root. And licorice is a wonderful herb because it's antiviral. It's immune modulating, so it has like a really supportive effect for the immune system and can also help with stress in its impact on cortisol. And another great thing about licorice is that as opposed to ginger, which is much more dry and hot in its kind of herbal energetics, licorice is more neutral to warm and very moistening. So people in Colorado that are constantly sort of like, I'm thirsty all the time, it's dry all the time, I feel like I can't drink enough water, and I'm, you know, they're eating their healthy fats, but they still need something that's kind of moistening for the body. I often recommend licorice root in addition to marshmallow root. But licorice being antiviral is super nice in this tea. So I really like combining even just simply ginger and licorice is a delicious combination. And then I'll often add something like lemon balm, which is another antiviral, and it's also calming and soothing for the nervous system. And this is great as like an after-dinner tea. Lemon balm isn't as sedative as certain other herbs, so it can be taken during the day. And all of these herbs, more so ginger and lemon balm, are aromatic. So when you have an herb that, if you're talking to an herbalist or you're reading about something online or in a book, and an herb is referred to as aromatic, that essentially means it's high in volatile oils or essential oils. So this is kind of the old school way of getting our essential oils on without actually using a distilled essential oil. So when you make a cup of tea, for instance, like you add your ginger, your licorice, your lemon balm, and you see the steam come off, you can actually get medicine all on its own just from inhaling steam. And that is also going to have its own medicinal and protective kind of benefits for your immune system.
Beautiful.
So I often tell people to cover their cup of tea.
So you can keep that in there.
Like keep those vapors in there, and then when you're ready to actually sit down, you know, you let it steep for 10, 15, even 20 minutes, then when you're uncovering it, actually inhale that medicine as you're in your tea, and you'll get kind of like double the benefits, I would say. Since we're not extracting the essential oils separately from the plant, it's kind of in a whole package, so it's a little bit easier for your body to assimilate. And it also smells really good and adds kind of its own ritual.
Well, and lemon balm is a great one. That grows in our region like crazy. It's just a beautiful plant that every time you walk by it, it just smells like heaven. At the Basalt Food Park in the public park there at Ponderosa Park, we have tons of lemon balm. So during the season, you know, people can, even if they don't have the space to grow these things themselves, they're welcome to go to the park and pick it. There's lots of other medicinal herbs there. But lemon balm, I just can't grow enough of it. It's beautiful, and the bees adore it.
Oh, yeah. It's a great one for the bees. Everybody could grow lemon balm in their gardens. It's so easy to grow, and you can get multiple harvests from just one plant. So yeah, we love that here too. And then another local plant, actually, since you're talking about things that either can be grown in the garden or that grow locally. Yarrow is a huge remedy for cold and flu. It's also antiviral. It's generally just kind of considered to be in the class of herbal antibiotics that are more gentle. And then another great use for yarrow is that it's diaphoretic. So essentially what that means is it's supporting the body's own kind of fever mechanism. So I think a lot of us were kind of taught to fear fever, even though fever is the body's natural response to infection, right? So
right.
You actually support that as much as possible, obviously within, you know, certain boundary. There are certain instances or when it gets a fever gets too high that you might actually want to administer something like a Tylenol or whatever to break the fever. But in most cases, a healthy adult especially will be able to stand a fever. And I like to use yarrow in a hot tea, often in combinations with ginger, licorice, lemon balm, because of its ability to help my body's fever. So I can actually utilize that heat because that heat is killing virus and bacteria in the body. So I love it for that. It's also another aromatic. And if used externally on cuts, it's another great herb to kind of know about just for first aid because it does stop bleeding pretty well.
Right. And it's yarrow, if folks don't know what it looks like and they want to Google it, I'm sure that if you've been out and about in this area on a hike, you've seen it all over. It's something that grows in this region in the wild, and it's native here. So beautiful, beautiful plant to have that's, again, easy to grow and will grow in these places if you wanted to plant it in your yard. On the dry edges, on the margins where your irrigation doesn't really hit. So it's a good one to have around for sure.
Yeah, super drought tolerant. Another bee lover.
I'll warn you, Kate, we have about 3 minutes.
Oh, goodness.
So we knew this would happen, and there'll be more herbal talks to come because I know we get a lot of really great feedback about this topic. If you could cover one more herb for winter, either digestion or sleep, cold and flus, what would be one more thing that would help folks ease their transition through the winter season?
Okay, I would say if I could recommend one thing, and I have a list of probably 50 things I could list off, it would be vitamin D3. There's so much, it's not an herb, but I want to say it because I think
right.
It's one of those things that we don't talk about enough in the state of Colorado because we think it's sunny all the time. but studies have shown that you may be 40% less likely to get certain types of influenza by supplementing with vitamin D3. So the way that I kind of take that information is that obviously it's great if you can afford to and you're diligent enough to supplement. Obviously the other best source is going to be the sun. So I always recommend, you know, get out into the sunshine. Even if we know that we're not getting enough vitamin D3 this time of year, getting out into the sun has so many other benefits, you know, fresh air, just getting outside and moving your body. And I also try to say if it's warm enough, expose your tummy to sunlight and don't shower it off for 24 hours if you can, and you will be able to absorb some vitamin D that way.
Beautiful.
So that's another recommendation I say to people. Even when it's cold outside, try to get outside and just move your body and connect with nature, because that on its own is probably one of the best remedies for, you know, everything immune, everything mood, depression related this time of year.
Great. So, Kate, with our last minute, can you give a little bit more information or, again, about how to reach you, how to find Alpine Botanicals? And for folks who are interested in this topic, if they join your newsletter or are on your Facebook page, you put out lots of this kind of information as the season changes. So that's another great source. But can you throw those contacts out for everyone?
Yeah, definitely. So, listeners, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. We're Alpine Botanicals. Our Instagram handle is Alpine_botanicals. And you can reach us at info@alpinebotanicals.com. And we have a terrific newsletter. It's not very salesy. It's more just kind of information, inspiration. And you can sign up for our newsletter if you go onto our website, www.alpinebotanicals.com, and just sign up for our newsletter there and check out our classes and events. We've got all sorts of fun stuff coming up. We've got a class next week called Herbs for Injuries. That's just perfect for kind of the winter sports addict in your life. So send them our way. We would love to speak more and show you our beautiful greenhouse and just kind of get to know the wider community.
Great. Thanks for coming on the show today, Kate. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steph.
Thanks.